together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows too. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows too. He tells me of the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be. When all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life's earth's verdant glory see. When all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life's earth's verdant glory see. My God and I will go for aid together. We'll walk and talk as good friends should and do. This earth will pass, and with its common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly. This earth will pass, and with its common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly. This earth will pass, and with its common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly.
Thank you guys, appreciate that very much. Good thoughts. It's our pleasure to have Jim and Pat Fry with us and Servant's Heart Camp, and eager to see what God is going to do in the coming days, just going before the Lord, asking him to do some great and mighty things in the coming days. And so we've asked them to come and to share. So the first part, Jim's going to share what's going on with camp and a lot of the building project and what's going on with camp this next year. And then after that, he's going to preach.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. When I share what God is doing at camp, sometimes I'm not sure where to go, but I'm going to share some things this morning of an encouragement that was to me here a month or two ago. Thank you for your support. You've been a blessing to us. I appreciate your financial support. I appreciate your prayer support. I appreciate your moral support. You have been a blessing to us. We were on a recruitment trip. We were on a visiting a couple colleges and also at a conference visiting some pastors and youth leaders and that sort of thing. And it was just seemed bam, 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 bam. The Lord encouraged us every step of the way. And you know what? It's okay to have some times like that every once in a while, because sometimes they get a different way. But it started on, we were recruiting on that Wednesday night. We went to a church that we had not ever been at before. And you've heard this guy's name before, but when we got there, we realized that Dalton taught the teens on Wednesday evening. So that was very encouraging. Here's a kid from a rough background, and now 12 years later, after he made a profession of faith at Servant's Heart Camp, and God definitely changed his life. And it was kind of neat when the folks realized this is the camp where Dalton was saved. They were like all excited. So it was just encouraging to see a young man that was going on with the Lord Jesus Christ. The next day we were at a conference, and a girl that was at camp, she's now young adult, she wanted her pastor to meet me. And she said, look, this is where I went to camp. And she said, beside this is where my sister got saved at this camp. And she was just all excited, sharing with her pastor about Servant's Heart. That was the following day, a girl came to me that I remembered her as a camper. You know, sometimes all these people come through and they think, oh, you remember me, right? But anyhow, she came to me and said, and I remembered she came from a difficult home life. She was later, actually not when she was here at camp, after that, she was adopted by a family, She said, I just want you to know that I was saved at Servants Heart Camp. And she said, now I'm a youth pastor's wife, forget the name of the church, a church in Ohio. She's a youth pastor's wife faithfully serving the Lord. And that was just super encouraging. What was the next thing? I think it was, maybe it was the following Wednesday night. We were at a different school, at a different college, and we went to church. And the youth leader came to me and she said, did you hear about, the name didn't even really, I couldn't even picture the guy, but she said, he was a guy that has been coming to their church, struggles with spiritual things, but he really, really struggled with scripture memory. The scripture memory incentives that we had, he just couldn't get them and struggled with them. And everybody was helping him and trying to get it. And when he got Romans 10, 9, and 10, there was celebration because he finally made that milestone. On the following Sunday, after they came back from camp, the preaching of God's word did not touch his heart. The counseling did not touch his heart. But the following Sunday, he came to the youth leader's wife. He said, that verse that I was working on camp, he said, you know, I need to do that. I need to receive Christ. And a week after camp, the scripture that he was memorizing during camp that he struggled with, finally the Lord allowed that to become real in his life, and he was saved that Sunday morning. So it was just a neat, neat thing of how the Lord just continued to show me that the fruit is continuing. Sometimes you see kids that come to camp, and 6 months later, they are far from the Lord, and you kind of get discouraged. But it was just encouraging to see one right after another. And then, no, I'm not going to text anybody. This is about 10 days ago, I got this, and it says, just wanted to share with you personally that my God has given me strength so far to have 200 days of victory. This is sexual purity. Today is that day, 2 days after my 21st birthday. What a great belated birthday present. My God is so good. He is so gracious, loving, and forgiving. Wow, to God be the glory, great things he is doing in my life. And you know what, sexual purity is difficult for young people. And this, well, happened to be a young lady. It's not only a young man, but it's a young lady. This happened to be a young lady that if she had 10 days of victory, she thought she was really doing well. And for her to say that she's had 200 days of victory, and one of our counselors has been dealing with her, and it's just encouraging to know that God is continuing to work in the hearts of young people. Now, the question that I often have is about the lodge, and we're going to give you a quick rundown of what's going on with the lodge, I think. Yeah. For those of you that have not been there for a while, that's where the lodge is going, where that construction work is going, the lake's front here. And, So April 1st, after talking about this for many years, April 1st was finally the day that officially we got started and started digging. There was a whole lot of digging that had to take place there because of all the ground that had to be taken down. That's April 8th. April 16th, there was actually the footers were ready and there was footer down through the middle. May 3rd. Now, I have said that my foundation in Jesus Christ is more secure than this foundation. That footer is 10 foot wide. I'm still having trouble here. That footer is 10 foot wide and rebar all through it. In the middle of the footer, there's a 3 foot keyway down through, and it's just incredible. But the footer is pretty solid, but my foundation in Christ is even more solid than that. Whoops. May 14th, they started putting up the walls. May 29th, there's the walls. June 4th, we started putting on the steel for the upper level. July 2nd, they poured concrete on the upper level. July 9th, they started making the porch out in the backside of the lodge. May 22nd, they poured the concrete. This is getting ready to pour the concrete. Monday, July 29th, the trusses pulled in. They started setting the trusses August 7th. September 27th, they're putting the porch on the back part of the lodge. November 1st, putting shingles on the roof. And that's what the building looks like right now. That's how we left it after left the building at the end of 2024. I'm having a little trouble with this. Okay, this is our goal, as soon as the Lord provides. To get a better perspective, we removed the trees. So you get a little bit of idea what we're planting there. With the trees, so far without the trees, we spent $1,007,872. And you say, wow, incredible. That is, to God be the glory. We are a small ministry. To have that much money is just incredible, just absolutely incredible. What are our plans? Here are the steps. Step one is putting one of the sides of the deck on the front of the building, and that's $50,000. Now, I was just on the phone with Bill Ford. He's our project manager that's working through this, and he thinks that we can come in significantly less than that. We have a different architect that's working on this, a different architect than work than the main part of the building, and he thinks that we should be able to come in significantly less than this, but we just had this in the last week or two and trying to get some prices on that. So step two is the other side of the lodge, which is another estimated cost of $50,000. Step three, you can see what that looked like without the windows, and putting the windows on the front, that is another $85,000. The windows, I'm getting a little bit scared because some of you people are saying, what is wrong with you? Why are you spending all this money? When we put that little bump out in the front of the lodge with the little A-frame and the little place fireplace room, I had no idea until now. We start putting together, this is costing how much? But I believe that we'll be a real profitable to the ministry. After that, we plan to put the windows around the entire lodge. That's another $45,000. That's not just the windows in the front. That's the windows around back. That's the windows all around it. Siding on the entire lodge, and that's another $40,000. Doors, I think there's 18 doors with the side doors and 18 doors around the building and the side lights and that sort of thing. Another $45,000. The stones on the outside of the lodge. Now this we may hold off until we do some stuff because this Mr. Ford wanted to get anything that would deteriorate in the outside. He wanted to have it closed in. The stones we may or may not do here right away. Next step is the deck that goes in the front and the back. Another $30,000. So total 2025 cost to bring the building to this point. We have a deck, $50,000. Another deck, $50,000. Windows, $85,000. Windows, $40,000. The siding, $40,000. The doors, $52,000. Stone, $90,000. Porch, $30,000 for a total of $447,000 is what we would like to do. And you say, are you crazy? Pretty much. But it has just been amazing for us to see God provide for this project. We had said that we were hoping to have $200,000 by the end of the year. That did not happen. We do have $150,000. Some of these windows we were hoping to do before the end of the year. So that needed fund to bring that to where you see it now is $297,000. When you see this happening, I want you to think, to God be the glory. Has very, very little to do with us, a whole lot to do with our great God. To God be the glory. Great things he is doing. Okay, I think we are finished with that. If you have any questions about past or future or anything you ask us, we want to spend some time looking into God's Word and see what He has for us this morning. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for what You have done at Servant's Heart Camp. Father, we thank You for the first part of hearing continuing fruit. In that case, two of them that came from very rough backgrounds, and now they're faithfully serving You at the place where You had them. Father, as we look into Your Word this morning, Father, as it has convicted my heart, Father, we ask that You would use it for Your glory this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, sometimes when you preach, you should have mastered the subject that you're preaching about before you do it. But that has not totally been the case. The Lord is still working on me. And the title of this is Commandments or the Cross. The commandments or the cross. When you get through a shallow time in your life, a difficult time in your life, where do you go? Do you go to the cross or do you go to commandments? Now, what do I mean by that? Perhaps when I'm going through a difficult time, I think, oh, if I would just pray more. Now, all these things, I'm not minimizing the value of them, that I would just pray more. And I look at Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so, man, these next weeks, I am just going to pour my life into praying. Again, I'm not minimizing the value of this, but I pour my life into praying and I don't really see anything these next couple weeks. And I say, boy, Lord, what's going on? Have you fallen? Or maybe I think, man, I need to read the Bible more. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I have some major decisions that I have to make here. And I'm just going to pour myself into the Word. And God's just going to do some real things in my life. Again, I'm not minimizing that we put our life, but it doesn't seem as though God really does that. Then we say, okay, I need to be more faithful in my witnessing. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And perhaps I actually see somebody that comes along to church with me and we see some fruit and we sort of say, I did that. I invited that person. You know, do you see how commandments can either send us into depression or to send us into pride? Perhaps we say, okay, I just need to give more. I need to allow God to use me, and I need to give more. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Then I say, I'm going to give more to the work of the church. I'm going to give more. And so you set the amount aside that you're going to give to the church. And you say, man, God is just going to use that. Your transmission goes out, and your furnace blows up that week. Have you experienced that sort of thing? You're familiar with John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Do we run to the Lord? Now here it says much fruit. We say, okay, well, if I just abide with him a little bit, at least I can bring forth a little bit of fruit. But the end of the verse is, for without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Where do we start when we feel a little bit of shallowness in our Christian life? Do we run to the cross and say, I did nothing to earn my salvation. I can do nothing to please you, to be in fellowship with you. We're going to look at a parable this morning. So you say, we're going to the New Testament? No, we're going to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, just a short parable. And see what we can learn from Isaiah chapter 5. Well, 5 and 6. And Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a fruitful hill. So here this guy started a vineyard, and he started it in a fruitful hill. Now, today farmers have a little bit more flexibility because they can fertilize and they can do all these things. But he started with a place that was fruitful. Verse 2, and he fenced it in. Now, how did they fence it? Did they put some high tensile fence up? No, he built stones, and stones 4 to 6 foot high at that point to make the vineyard safe, to keep it from animals coming in and taking the fruit. A number of years ago, we were in California, and driving along the freeways, I kept seeing these fences. They were about this high. And I thought, what in the world are these fences for? I mean, I found out later that the fences actually go 18 inches underground and about, no, 6 inches, 6 inches underground and about 18 inches above ground. And I couldn't figure out what they were. And I talked to one of the locals there. Oh, yeah, he said, we have a turtles that is on the termination. What's the word? Yeah, they're concerned. And so that is to protect the turtles. So they're protecting the turtles. They must have spent I don't know how much money to protect the turtles couldn't go out on the road and get run over. But any of that, just made a side note. He had to go in here and build a wall, verse 2, and he fenced it. And going on in verse 2, he gathered out the stones thereof. Okay, so he fenced it and gathered out the stones. Now, when I was a kid, we gathered the stones out of the field. I could not believe, where do these stones come from? We gathered them last year, and here we are again this year. And it was about the worst job in the world. When I was small, I could just drive the tractor and watch people on each side, you know, pick it up. But then I had to go out there and I had to pick up the stones and take them over to the wagon. Anything that was, you know, a stone, you take it over and we'd had the big pile. So it was hard work. So we can see that this guy picked a fruitful hill. He fenced it. He gathered out the stones. So he worked hard. He fenced it, he gathered out the stones, planted it with the choicest vines. He went with the best possible vine that he could find. Today we would. Do you ever drive down the road and you see these signs in front of a row of corn? Here's several rows of corn, and here's a sign of this type of seed, and here is this type of seed. And people can come inspect it and say, "Oh, this type of soil." He didn't really have that. He didn't really have that option. He couldn't just go into the internet and say, "Oh, this soil, this does that well." But let's look what he did. He found a fruitful hill. He fenced it. He gathered out the stones thereof, planted with the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the midst of it. Now, what was the purpose of the tower? The tower is so he could look out over, that he could watch if anything came. Also, the tower had big, wide stones at the bottom. And sometimes they could take those grapes and put them in there and protect them. So, he built a tower, and he made a wine press therein, so they could stamp out and have the grape juice. And now that they couldn't do with stones, because it would have just ran out. They had to dig down. They couldn't find the soft sandy soil. They had to find some hard rocky soil, and they had to dig down 2, 3 to 6 feet for this vineyard. So would you say that he did well? He found a fruitful hill. He fenced it. Probably took him a year and a half or more. If you put that much, 3 foot wide, could have taken him a year and a half to do that. He gathered out the stones, a job that I didn't like, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, and made a wine press, and he looked that he should bring forth grapes. The end of verse 5. And it brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. Now, wild grapes weren't just grapes that were, you know, maybe just a little bit smaller. I'll just turn to this. In 2 Kings, no, I'm not even going to turn to it. In 2 Kings, do you remember when Elisha and his prophets, and they were making some soup, and they said, there's death in the pot. Is that the right word? Yes, I am going to get turned to it. I can't remember. 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4, verse 39. And he went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine, the same type of vine we're looking at here, and gathered there a wild gourds of his lap and came and shed them into a pot of portage, for they knew them not. And in the end of the verse, they said, there is death in the pot. So these wild grapes not only were not, we can just barely use them, they were not usable. They were not usable. So we see here in Isaiah, here is somebody that worked hard. And what did he accomplish? What did he miss at the beginning of this whole process? Let's go one chapter over to Isaiah chapter 6. One chapter over to Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You see a whole different thought here. Where did he start? He started with, I saw the Lord. That saw is not just a quick glance. That saw is, there. I grasp it. There was something significant about this. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Kind of like when a bride comes down the aisle here. You know, we're awestruck. She's a beautiful bride. And it said that it filled the temple. And you see how he had his mind on the God. God has done this. And we're going to look just very quickly down here. Verse 4. Then he said, woe is me, I am undone. When we really see God for who it is, does it bring a woe to our mind? Wow. What a God. First guy worked hard, but he did not see the Lord high and lifted up. So in verse 5, he says, woe is me. Verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo. So we see a woe and we see a lo. I am undone. I'm wicked. What can I do? I am nothing before God. And it's not actually here, but the next verse is, and I heard verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send, and who shall go for me? Then said I, here am I, send me. And it's a ho. We have that, well, we see the woe, the lo, the ho. We see that in Ruth 4 when someday you'll get old too. The guy that wanted Boaz. Yeah. Come on. Does anybody stop? Here's some significant. And they used the word ho. And then verse 9, it says, go. Go and tell the people. The story I want you to see is here he saw the Lord high and lifted up before he went. Now we want to look at one more passage. One more passage, Nehemiah. Whoops. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm. Yeah, we'll find it here. Okay, in Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 3, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Now, he had a pretty nice job. I mean, he got to eat all the king's food and all the king's drink, and he was supposed to just make the king very comfortable. My wife just was telling me recently about somebody that had the same job. They were in different parts of the country, but different parts of the world. But the one seemed to enjoy what she was doing. The other seemed to be burdened by what she was doing. But here was Nehemiah just enjoying coming and serving the king. But then in verse 4, he learned about the way that Jerusalem was. And he fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven. Verse 5, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, great and terrible. But he realized, and he went on, there was a burden. He needed to work, but he had a burden. He started praying. Nehemiah 2, 4 and 5. And I love this. It says, then the king said unto me, because he came and he realized something is wrong. He is not as upbeat as he normally is. So I prayed to the God of heaven. The king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. Now that's multitasking. I'm not really good at multitasking. I have enough trouble walking down the street and chewing gum, but that was multitasking. He prayed to the God of heaven, and he said to the king. I have some times that I think about that I multitask. It's not uncommon when somebody comes back after an evening rally and I'm walking out to the picnic tables to sit down and counsel and say, I don't know what this guy's going to say come out of his mouth, but Lord, I need you. Then he starts talking and I'm saying, okay, I see where he's going, but Lord, I need you. But I just think this is neat. And he prayed to the God of heaven and he said to the king. So let's go over to Nehemiah chapter 4 and you see how God is in this whole thing, and he's going to work here. Nehemiah 4:4, he says, hear, O God, for we are despised. We jump down to 4:6, and we see the people had a mind to work. This is where we're bringing calling upon the God and working. The first guy we saw that he worked very, very diligently. He did everything humanly possible that he could do. But here we said, hear, O God, and they called upon, they had a mind to work. 4:9, and we made our prayer unto God. We go over to chapter 5 and verse 9. And I said, it is not good that ye do aught, that ye not to work in the fear of the Lord. He wanted to work in the fear of the Lord. Let's jump over to chapter 6, verse 16. And it came to pass that when all the enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that saw it, they were cast down in their own sides. For they perceived that this work was wrought of God. For they perceived that this work was wrought of God. I actually have written in my Bible beside that verse, Lodge. When people drive in, I want them to see, God did that. That's a pretty amazing thing, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. So you see how this is different than it was in Isaiah 15. They had lots of work to do. They had lots of walls to build, just like they had a wall to build around the vineyard. They had lots of things. They had opposition. But what was the difference? They were calling upon God to do what he needed to do. They were depending upon God. They saw the Lord high and lifted up. Do we sometimes tend to go and say, God, I'm gonna do this. Do we kind of work in commandment? Now, it is not anything wrong with saying, I'm gonna pray more, I'm gonna study the Bible more, I'm gonna give more. Those are all good. But do we first of all go to God and say, God, I need you. Just as I come to the cross for my salvation, I come to the cross. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Is it okay to work hard? Absolutely it's okay. We see in Nehemiah's case that he did work hard. He worked very, very hard. But first of all, he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord all the way through going into that work. He sought the Lord. Let's go back to Isaiah, verse 5. Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 5. And verse 5, verse 1, we see he bought a fruitful hill. Verse 2, he fenced it and gathered out the stones and planted it with the choicest vineyard. And it built a tower in the midst, and also made a wine press. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild olives. Verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, of Judah, judge, I pray, between me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to the vineyard? Now, what could have he done more? Could have done more by seeking God. What could have I done more to the vineyard? And have I not done it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I tell you, and what I will do to the vineyard, I will take away the hedge, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and it shall lay in waste, shall not be pruned nor digged, and shall come up briars and thorns, and I also command the clouds that they rain not rain upon it. You know, when we start something in the flesh and work really, really hard, it can be a disaster. It can be a disaster. And the end case, he left the walls go down, he left it grow up. So he had three possibilities here that he could have done. Number one, the save face, he could have just worked harder. Dig out the old vines, put in new vines. Or could have then done as was said here, just let the thing go. Trample it down. Just let nothing happen. Let it go as it was. Or he could have done the third option that we see in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. The question is, how much do you do in the flesh and working hard to please God, working hard to make it happen? Are you working for the commandment or the cross? Are casting your dependence at the feet of Christ and said, oh God, I need you in this thing. Won't you do it for your glory? John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. As I started looking at this, do I work super hard to try to make things happen and forget to start with seeing an almighty God and coming to him and say, God, I need you. I desperately need you. Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness to us. Father, help us to realize that without you, we can do nothing. Father, it might look good. We might work hard. We might do all sorts of things. But Father, we need to start by calling upon you, by seeking your face,